a time when things are shifting. There's going to be a new world order out there. And we've got to lead it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, everyone? This is End Time Headlines. We welcome you to today's broadcast. It is Friday, April 8th, and we are a little bit after the 2 p.m. Eastern time frame. And we welcome you to the broadcast again. If you are new, as always, we want to encourage you to let us know below in the comment section below that you are new or if this is your first time joining us, and let us know where you guys are joining us from. Same goes for all of our podcast audience today. If there is a space or if there's a section where you can comment, please let us know, whether it's on YouTube or Rumble or wherever it is. If you are new to the broadcast and if this is your first time joining us, let us know where you guys are joining us from. We would always love to hear from you. Today, I want to be dealing with a subject called the tipping point has arrived. The tipping point has arrived. As you guys have known, and first of all, we want to welcome everybody to the broadcast on all platforms. Again, I'm Ricky Scaparo, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. This is news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Today, I want to talk about some major warning signals that are being, that are coming out, some red flags, the sirens are going off. As you guys have known, if you've kept up with our ministry for any time, any length of time, you know, for the last 3 to 4 months now, we've been talking about the ripple effect on the economy, not just for the United States, but around the world. All the factors that have taken its toll, that have been bricks being built to the wall to bring us to this tipping point. The war that is going on with Russia and Ukraine that's ongoing. The shortages, the supply chain shortages, the pandemic, which was the first horse out of the gate. Then you've got all these other things, and we're going to talk about that today. And from all economic indicators, there was many, I want to say, economists and different ones who are experts in these fields, which warning us about the fall months of 2022 going into the winter months. That would really, when we'd be seeing the quote unquote tipping point of everything that we're seeing in culmination together. But it looks like this forecast may be a lot sooner than what was anticipated. In other words, the storm that they anticipated may be now at our shores a lot sooner, again, than they forecasted. So this is what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to give you some headlines. We're going to talk about this today. I believe this is something that we need to talk about. We're seeing the first bank, the first big bank to forecast a U.S. recession.
But the Fed's plan could send the United States into a recession. That word, according to economists from Deutsche Bank. It's the first big bank to make such a bold prediction. Deutsche Bank economists say stocks could plummet by 20% next year and that unemployment could peak around 5% in 2024. For context, the unemployment rate hit a new pandemic low of 3.6% in last month's job report. Andrew Ross Sorkin now, co-host of Squawk Box. Andrew, it's really a pretty grim economic forecast, though the minutes really, they didn't seem so extreme.
Grim is maybe in the eye of the beholder in this instance. You know, the economy is doing remarkably, and the truth is it's doing too well. That is actually the problem. I don't know if people want to put it in that context, but that's what is happening. It's doing too well, and wages are not keeping up. And I think there's a realization, and you're hearing it now more and more from the Fed, you can see it in the minutes, a sense that what they have to do is tamp down demand. That's something that policymakers don't ever want to talk about, the idea of tamping down demand, because how do you do that? You do that by raising interest rates. You do that by making things more expensive. And that's where we are at this point. Yeah. The Fed is going to make things more expensive. How quickly they make things more expensive is the hard part and becomes the issue of whether they can thread that needle, whether they can land the plane and make things just expensive enough, or do they go a little bit too far? And then, as Deutsche Bank says, and I think you're starting to see a lot of folks on Wall Street talk about this, the possibility that they go too far or they go too quick, and that unto itself turns us the wrong way into a recession.
This bank is not the only one sounding the alarm. Just today, the Bank of America has just came out and issued a huge chilling warning. Quote, the macroeconomic picture is deteriorating fast and could push the U.S. economy into recession as the Federal Reserve tightens its monetary policy to tame surging inflation. This is according to the Bank of America strategist warned this week. And I want to give you this. This is up here on your screen. I want to give you the next headline here. Quote, inflation shock worsening, rates shock just beginning. Again, let me say that again. Inflation shock worsening, rate shock just beginning. Recession shock coming. Bank of America chief investment strategist Michael Hartnett wrote in a note to clients, adding that in this context, cash, volatility, commodities, and cryptocurrencies could outperform bonds and stocks. Again, the Federal Reserve this past Wednesday signaled it will likely start culling assets from its $9 trillion balance sheet as its meetings in early May, and will do so as it nearly twice the pace it did in previous quantitative tightening exercise as it confronts inflation running at a four-decade high. A large majority of investors also expect the central bank to hike its key interest rate by 50 basis points. Again, what are we talking? If you're just tuning in today, major banks are now warning that recession is here. It's coming. The tipping point has arrived. And it's, again, because a whole array of events producing the perfect storm to bring about this. Now, of course, we know, and if you have kept up with us and our podcasts and what we've talked about, we know that there is an agenda called the Great Reset. And we know that all the big wigs, all the those who are heading up the Great Reset, who are spearheading this thing, this kind of news right here, they are drooling at the mouth. They are drooling at the mouth because this is the dominoes that needs to fall into place in order for them to achieve what they have been desiring to achieve. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to go back and watch yesterday's podcast. Go back and look through our archives when we talk about the Great Reset, the agenda of the World Economic Forum. Okay? But look at this. Let me give you some more headlines. Egg prices are spiking amid the worst U.S. avian flu outbreak in 7 years. Remember, I told you, it is not just one thing. It's not just two things. It's just not a handful of things. We're talking about multi-events all transpiring at one time to produce the perfect, quote-unquote, scenario or storm, or what we could say the perfect events to bring about the desire of what they want to achieve. Isn't it interesting? The highly contagious strain has impacted poultry in over 20 states in the United States. And it's not just the United States, guys. This is even outside of the United States.
With Easter right around the corner, an egg shortage is the last thing grocery stores need. But it could happen now that the avian flu has been discovered on farms in 18 states, according to the USDA, including one in Jefferson County, where millions of birds were destroyed. Managers at stores like Metcalf's have already had to make adjustments.
Have you had to shift any of your egg vendors because of this?
We did. We did shift some things around this weekend to some alternate sources and got plenty of egg supply in.
But the situation could change week to week. In 2015, the avian flu cost the federal government nearly $1 billion and caused egg prices to nearly double. The USDA's national retail report shows average chicken prices rose 83 cents compared to last week, and egg prices are rising as well. At Metcalf's, shelves aren't quite fully stocked.
They're hoping these signs in the store help warn customers of what may happen to their egg supply down the road.
That's going to kind of be the name of the game as we go through this. If one farm is affected and not another, you're kind of looking at all of your suppliers to see who you can get from what.
The Wisconsin Grocers Association tells 12 News egg supply is going to be challenging for grocers and customers. We're hopeful egg producers can come back online soon.
In fact, Zoos across the nation are now taking drastic measures as to pulling birds from cages and exhibits and putting them inside because there is fears that they will catch this virus.
West Michigan zoos are on alert for bird flu after cases were recently discovered in a backyard flock in Kalamazoo County. News 8's Kyle Mitchell here now with the response being taken to protect the animals. Kyle.
Sue, while the Michigan cases last week were considered a small outbreak, zoos are taking the threat seriously.
With the avian flu confirmed in West Michigan.
As close as this one is to us, it sets us at a different level of response.
John Bell Zoo is activating its emergency disease plan, putting its flocks under quarantine.
Currently what we're doing is trying to limit the contact between wild birds and the birds in our care. So some of those that might be outside are now moved into indoor spaces temporarily. Any areas where maybe we would normally have more interaction between people and those birds, we're moving those birds so that that interaction isn't happening.
Sanitation is another important part of the plan when keepers are taking care of the birds.
We have foot bags there with disinfecting liquid in it so we can step in those, and that way we know we're not bringing it in with us.
Binder Park Zoo is also taking the threat seriously, moving more of its birds indoors.
Unfortunately, in the U.S., we started having more cases this year, and then just recently we had the case in Kalamazoo.
Veterinarian Dr. Kim Thompson says the zoo already had a plan ready on how it would respond.
We are going to go ahead and catch our free-ranging peacocks that you probably have all visited and seen when you come here as a guest at the zoo. So we are going to be moving those to a holding area.
Vets say the severity of symptoms can vary depending on the type of bird, and some are at greater risk.
Anything that's a waterfowl or a chicken-like bird, those are going to be the species we're most worried about.
The John Ball Zoo is also not taking birds to educational events outside of the zoo as an additional precaution. Sue.
Massachusetts, Wyoming, North Carolina, Ohio, North Dakota are just a few of the recent states that has been impacted by this. And of course, prices are expected to climb amid the seasonal demand during Easter and Passover. Again, isn't it convenient? Things that make you go, Companies including Hormel Foods, the parent company of Jenny O Turkey Store, addressed the potential impact on the poultry supply chain. I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to read you an article from Michael Snyder that is very informative. Quote, Jenny O Turkey Store has been preparing for this situation and took extensive precautions to protect the health of the turkeys in its supply chain. According to the company, the store will continue to work with the USDA Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, Minnesota Board of Animal Health, Minnesota Department of Agriculture, as well as poultry industry associations on this issue. Quote, USDA and the National Turkey Federation are monitoring and responding to the situation and remind consumers that HPAI does not pose a food safety concern. So again, it's not a concern about health, but it's going to hit you in your pocketbook. Now, we're going to close today's segment with, this was some research that Michael Snyder, again, did pulling a lot of headlines together, and I want to read you this. I want to give you the 20 facts about the emerging global food shortage that will send a chill down your spine. Again, 20 facts about the emerging global food shortage that will send a chill down your spine. Let's get after this. Quote, a very alarming global food shortage that, again, has been ongoing, but now it looks like all these things are reaching a tipping point. And again, the experts in these fields are only going to anticipate this to get worse. So we're going to read number one. One of France's most important government officials is telling us that we should brace ourselves for a, quote, extremely serious global food crisis. I want to read this to you. France Foreign Affairs Minister recently said the EU must get to grips with the prospect that the war in Ukraine could prompt a, quote, extremely serious global food crisis. Number two, Joe Biden recently admitted that the food shortages are going to be, quote, real, and his administration is now openly using the word famine to describe what is coming.
With regard to food shortage, and it's going to be real. The price of these sanctions is not just imposed upon Russia. It's imposed upon an awful lot of countries as well, including European countries and our country as well. And because both Russia and Ukraine have been the breadbasket of Europe in terms of wheat, for example, just to give one example. But we had a long discussion in the G7 with both the United States, which has the third largest producer of wheat in the world, as well as Canada, which is also a major, major producer. And we both talked about how we could increase and disseminate more rapidly food shortages. In addition to that, we talked about urging all the European countries and everyone else to end trade restrictions on sending limitations on sending food abroad. And so we are in the process of working out with our European friends what it would be, what it would take to help alleviate the concerns relative to food shortages.
Number three, it is now being reported that food prices at German supermarkets will soon go up between 20% and 50%. Quote, just days after Germany reported the highest inflation in a generation, with February headline CPI soaring at 7.6% annual pace and blowing away all expectations, giving locals a distinctly unpleasant deja vu feeling even before the Russian invasion of Ukraine broke what few supply chains remained and sent prices even higher into the stratosphere. Quote, this past Monday, Germany will take one step toward a return of the dreaded Weimar hyperinflation, when, according to the German Retail Association, consumers should prepare for another wave of price hikes for everyday goods and groceries, with Reuters reporting that prices at German retail chains will explode between 20 and 50%. And by the way, this is what they're expecting to come here to U.S. shores. Number four, rationing has already begun in Spain. In Spain, the country started experiencing sporadic shortages of different products like eggs, milk, and other dairy products almost immediately following the outbreak of the war in Ukraine. In early March, major supermarkets began rationing sunflower oil. Again, this is in Spain. Number five, rationing has already begun in Greece. In Greece, at least four national supermarket chains have also started rationing food products like flour and sunflower oil due to critically low supplies caused, again, by the crippled supply chains coming out of Russia and Ukraine. Number six, the head of BlackRock is warning that this will be the first time in this generation that, quote, it is going to go into a store and not be able to get what they want. Let me read that again. This will be the first time in a generation that they're going to walk into a store and they're not going to get what they are looking for. On Tuesday, BlackRock Incorporated president told an audience in Austin, Texas, hosted by the Texas Independent Producers and Royalty Owners Association, that an entire younger generation is quickly finding out what it means to suffer from shortages. Wow. Number seven. Since this time last year, some fertilizer prices have gone up by as much as 300%.
CEO and president of fertilizer manufacturer CF Industries, which is one of the best performing stocks of the year. Tony, it's good to have you here. How bad is the global shortage of fertilizer right now?
Sarah, great to be here. Thanks for having me. It is a huge problem. The globe is very tight fertilizer. It's a confluence of factors. Unprecedented demand coupled with a huge fall off in supply availability, only just exacerbated by the war in Ukraine and what's going on with exports coming out of Russia and Ukraine. So we are.
What are
really
you doing about it? How do you ramp up to help meet that demand?
So nitrogen production is very much large. Refineries, chemical plants. We run those plants 24/7, 365. There are very few incremental tons that we can make. We have pushed out some maintenance activities. We have added some logistics capabilities, some vessels and rail cars, but there's no new tons to make. It's just a matter of trying to get them as quickly as we can into the marketplace.
As I understand, it takes natural gas to produce fertilizer, something that you have access to, unlike some of your international competitors, pretty cheaply. So how much of an edge is that for you?
So being a North American producer is huge for us. We pay somewhere in the neighborhood of $5 to $6 per MMBTU of natural gas. Europe is currently paying about $35 to $38 per MMBTU. And that's multiplied by 35 just to get to one ton of ammonia, multiplied by 10 million tons, which is what we produce annually. So that is the huge spread between low-cost production and high costs, and that's one of the reasons why fertilizer price is what it is. It's not only a lack of availability, but the high-cost producers are very high cost.
So what's going to happen, Tony, with global food supply? There are worries about shortages, about famines, and a real crisis. What's your perspective?
Yeah, so we are absolutely facing a problem of catastrophic proportion here.
Number eight, many farmers in Africa will not be able to afford fertilizer at all this year, and it is being projected that this will reduce agricultural production by an amount capable of feeding 100 million people. Let that resonate. Quote, with prices tripling over the past 18 months, many farmers are considering whether to forego purchases of fertilizer this year altogether. That leaves a market long touted for its growth potential set to shrink by nearly a third. Again, this is according to program manager at researcher group AfricaFertilizer.org. That could potentially curb cereals output by 30 million tons, which is enough to feed 100 million people. Guys, we're talking about real legitimate famine that you read about in biblical times. Number nine, Russia is normally one of the largest global exporters of fertilizer, but yet, listen to this, Russia is a key global player in natural gas, a major input to fertilizer production. Higher gas prices and supply cuts will further drive fertilizer prices even higher. Russia is one of the largest exporters of the three major groups of fertilizers, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. Physical supply cuts could further inflate fertilizer prices. Number 10, in a typical year, Russia and Ukraine collectively account for approximately 30% of all global wheat exports. So again, this gives you the dynamics of this. Number 11, half of Africa's wheat imports usually come from either Russia or Ukraine, but it's not happening now. Number 12, other nations rely on wheat exports from Russia and Ukraine even more than Africa does. all of their wheat from Russia and Ukraine and must find new sources, but they are competing against much larger buyers, including Turkey, Egypt, Bangladesh, and Iran, which have attained more than 60% of their wheat from the two warning countries. Number 13, one Russian official is warning that his nation may soon only export food to friendly nations. According to a Russian government official who recently threatened that Russia will limit its vital food exports to only nations it considers to be friendly. Again, this was a threat that Russia may soon cut off the West from food exports. Number 14, we've only got six more guys, hang with me. Number 14, on Friday, it was announced that another 5 million egg-laying chickens in Iowa would have to be put down because of the bird flu. We just discussed this. Number 15, this death toll from the bird flu in Iowa alone will be pushed beyond 13 million as a result of the latest incident. Number 16, overall, this is what the total national death toll from the bird flu currently looks like. 22 million egg-laying chickens, 1.8 million broiler chickens, and 1.9 million pullet and other commercial chickens, and 1.9 million turkeys. All have been wiped out, all of them. Number 17, China's agricultural minister has announced that the winter wheat harvest in China could be the worst in history. What are we talking about? We're talking about all these things together. Not just one thing, not just the war in Russia and Ukraine. Look at all the events simultaneously happening together. Number 18, we're also being warned that the winter wheat harvest in the U.S. alone will be, quote, and I quote, disastrous due to severe drought. Number 19. During a recent interview, one prominent U.S. farmer stated that most Americans won't like it when our grocery bill is up $1,000 a month. We talked about that on one of the last segments we did. And then finally, number 20, the head of the United Nations World Food Program says that what the planet is now facing is unlike anything that we've ever seen since World War II.
There have been now three attempts to organize the world. And he said it was the Treaty of Versailles and the League of Nations, which got into European fascism and everything else. Then World War II, and you had the Marshall Plan and Bretton Woods. Then you had the third effort, he says, is the Cold War ending, where it became a unipolar world. And now it's this one. Now, I can't take any more people saying this is, a hoax. It's not really happening. Why would you why are all of the biggest magazines, think tanks, scholars, all talking about this, including our president, saying that there is a new world order? You must break out of the box of your thinking. This is happening. Now, how it happens, I don't know. But one of the things that is happening is Russia and China are trying to collapse our dollar, because we're trying to collapse Russia. So what did Russia do this weekend? Russia, the Bank of Russia, has resumed gold purchases. More importantly, they are now fixing the ruble, 5,000 rubles per 1 gram of gold. So they're on a quasi-gold standard now. If they attach a gold standard to the rubles, this is what the Bank of Russia is now doing. If they've already said we're going to shut down all oil and gas exports unless you buy it in rubles. Well, nobody wants rubles. They knew that. So now Russia has said we're on a gold standard. Now, it's not exactly that, but it's close enough. So you can take gold and send it to Russia. They'll give you the rubles. You buy the oil, you give the rubles back. They're stocking up on gold. This will be very, very bad for the United States.
If we all knew this was coming, we knew that this, there was no way that this was going to continue, and it not reach a tipping point. And what we're warning you today is we're now at the tipping point. The house of cards is now tottering and it's getting ready to collapse. It's getting ready to fall. And the world government powers that be are all at the bottom of the house of cards, and they are drooling at the mouth. They have their chalkboards. They have their clipboards. They have their blueprints. They have their hard hats on, and they are ready to build the modern day Tower of Babylon, the Great Reset, the new world order that will rise out of the ashes of another global catastrophe, just like we had in Genesis chapter 11, that we keep telling you is a parallel of where we're heading. But you say, my goodness, Brother Ricky, this is gloom and doom and despair and bad news. But listen, again, Luke 21:28, Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, don't keep your head down. He said, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption is surely drawing near. Come on, do you agree with that today? Amen and amen. Listen, guys, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website. That's our landing page. If you've not downloaded our free app, we want to encourage you to get your hands on that. Again, if you're watching by Rumble, YouTube, or Facebook Live, in the description right there where it says download our free app, there's a link. Just click on the link, and it's going to take you to page. Depending on if you're on an Apple or if you're on an Android, just click on whichever one suits you, whichever one fits your device. Click on it, download it, get into your hands. Get all of our latest news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, as well as our latest podcast that you can either watch or listen at your leisure or both. And it's free. Again, it doesn't cost you a dime. It's free and it's available for you. And as always, guys, we want to give an opportunity. If this ministry is a continual source of blessing, edification, information, revelation, and equipping on a weekly basis, we want to give you the opportunity to sow into this ministry, partner with this ministry. Whatever the Lord puts on your heart, whatever your relationship with this ministry, we trust that you'll be led by the Holy Spirit to do accordingly. And you can either give electronically or by check or money order. If you wish to give by electronically, you can give through the app, which is real easy to do, right there at the bottom to the right where it says donate. Click there, or you go to the main website and you're going to see all over the place where it says donate, support, partner. There's going to be places you can do that. And again, if you're watching or listening and you wish to get by check or money order, you can make that out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, and that's 30655. So I want to listen before we sign off today. I want to pray a prayer blessing over you today. Listen, if you're watching this today and you're listening today, maybe somebody invited you to this broadcast. Maybe somebody tagged you in this and you were almost like forced to watch this. And maybe all this stuff has got you nervous. It's got you a little bit anxious. Listen, if you're nervous and if you're anxious, that's normal in the flesh. But I'm going to tell you, my Bible, the Word of God says that God can give us peace that surpasses all understanding. He says, I will keep that man in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. And you say, how do we do that? Listen, the first step to doing that is accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's doing this. It's repenting of your sins, turning from your own way, and putting your faith and putting your trust and your life literally into the hands of a risen Savior. all other prophets, all other quote unquote little gods and saviors and messiahs and so-called messiahs have come, they've gone, they've died, and they're still buried and their bones have deteriorated in the grave. But there is only one who kicked the bottom out of the grave, and he's seated today at the right hand of the Father, and he is forever making intercession for you and I. And he was tempted in all points like you and I, but come on, he was sinless and he passed the test, and he is the Son of the living God, and he is the Savior of the world. He is the Messiah, and he is waiting for you to make the best decision you could ever do. So I pray today for you. Heavenly Father, I pray for everyone that is watching today, listening today, on whatever platform they're watching or listening, whether it's live or by the rebroadcast today. If there's anyone that is away from you or don't know you, I pray the Holy Spirit would draw them to you. Father, you said no man comes unto the Father lest he come through the Son, and no man can come through the Son lest the Spirit draw him. So Holy Spirit, have your way in this segment. Convict, arrest, and convert the lost and the backslid to the kingdom of God. And we give you permission to do that today. We give you permission to reach into that, reach right through that camera, right through that microphone, into that living room, into that office, into that bedroom, into that vehicle, into wherever they're at, to touch their lives and transform them in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray this today. I bless every one of you today, great and small, single, married, children, no children, husband, wives, grandmothers, grandfathers, aunts, uncles. I bless every one of you today in the name of the Lord. I pray the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May his countenance be upon you. I pray that he keep you from harm, danger, and disabling accidents. May the angels of the Lord be dispatched on your behalf to keep you in all of your ways. I bind all assignments of hell, and I come into agreement with the assignments of heaven that are that has been planned and laid out for you from the foundation of the world. Come on, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said amen and amen. Again, guys, God bless you, and thank you for taking the time out to be a part of our program today and our segment today. We're going to sign off on this Friday. We will be signing off this weekend, but we will be back here on Monday, Lord willing, to kick off next week's week of podcasting. Until then, guys, have a safe and blessed weekend. We'll see you then. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.